Christ is risen. Well, thank goodness. Go home and have some brunch. Think about and Easter for us who live and volunteer in the church. Easter, for all of its glory, can be a little bit of a strange mix of the joy of the resurrection and the relief that it is finally over. Weeks of planning and proofreading, which apparently didn't help that much. Weeks of music together, stuff, putting together the 64-page Triduum booklet, which you didn't get to see today. Oh my goodness. When we finally get to this day, we look forward to going home and having a nice glass of iced tea and finally taking a break. I wonder sometimes if the disciples at this point didn't feel the same way. You know, surely there was all of the grief, the anger, the disillusion of this Jesus who was their friend and their mentor, passing away, being taken from them and killed. But after 3 years of traipsing around the countryside and in Jerusalem and Galilee with Jesus, making disciples and healing, never being quite sure where their next meal would come from, all of those 3 years of standing uncomfortably by while Jesus argued with politicians and religious authorities, folks that those disciples had grown up from birth respecting and obeying. 3 years filled with hours of learning new and confusing concepts from Jesus, along with the exhausting and relentless practice of love. They were surely devastated at his arrest and deeply grief-stricken. But do you notice in the end of the shorter ending of Mark, it all just stops. What our deacon read today from Mark is the original, we think, ending of Mark. Mary and Salome and the other one, they go in and they see that the stone is rolled away. It's just rolled away. And what do? Do you remember? They went home. They just left, right? And you know, and then at some point they kind of look in there, but there's no Jesus. And there's an angel there who says to them, "Who are you looking for? Jesus? He is not here." And then they run away. The angel says, "Go tell the other disciples that Jesus will see them in Galilee just as he promised." And they leave the tomb amazed and startled and afraid, and they run and they tell. Mary was a Lutheran. "We know what we know, but we're not going to tell you." Yeah, they ran afraid away, and they just ran away and said absolutely nothing. So that the Gospel of Mark ends with this kind of abrupt, not quite finished ending. In a way, the disciples and Jesus were left hanging. But if they had been a little sharper of ear, they would have heard the clue, and so should we. The angel says to Mary, "Tell them that Jesus will see them in Galilee just as he promised." So although the end of Mark seems to sort of just end abruptly, and everybody gets to go home and have their iced tea, the disciples get to go back to Jerusalem, back to Galilee, where they will get back into their boat, do what they'd always done. If we listen for the clue, we begin to understand that the resurrection of Jesus is not the end of the ministry. It's a beginning. I love what David Lowes has to say about this. He says, "The story of what God is doing in and through Jesus isn't over at the empty tomb. You see, it's just getting started." Those disciples end up going back to Galilee to start over again. And in a way, you could kind of see how they would just go back and do it. We just doing the same thing over and over again. I was laughing because last night we probably could have celebrated the 40th anniversary of Easter Vigil, which has not changed much in the last many years. I have to say, every time you get something out of it, it throws everybody off. But we habits in the same way that the disciples had gotten into the habit of being around Jesus. And then when it stopped, they went back to their old habit. We know from the Gospels, their old habits of fishing and living. But Jesus is not quite done with them yet. Instead of just sending them back to what was old and what they had done before, Jesus returns to begin something new, something powerful. Before, they had walked with Jesus and followed him around and learned him, and it was all kind of just this journey that made its way through that whole part of the and then ended at the tomb. But now they're called to something new, a new beginning. Phyllis and I sat in last night and chatted a little bit about what we were going to preach this morning, and she talked about the spiral. And I thought, in a way, that's exactly right. The disciples don't just go back to where they were. Where they remember how the Gospel of Mark begins? This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. And Mark ends the same way. But the disciples don't just go back and then retrace their steps and start over again and go down the same road. Instead, it's like a spiral. Cool thing about a spiral, and this is good for those of us Christians who are a little bit worried about getting too far out, right? Ministry becomes tracing that ground again, but to do it now as a resurrection people. Not just as the disciples of Jesus, but those who know already about the resurrection. So that we begin new ministries and new ways of doing things. That's what happened for the disciples. Where in the first part of their ministry, they mostly ministered to the Jews and their people. Suddenly with Paul, who was born late, by the way, one of my favorite texts, that Corinthian text. Paul is what he is. He's the new disciple. Called now to reach out to the Gentiles, to those that the early disciples didn't even think about. And they begin to spiral out into new ground. But the cool thing about spirals is you never get far from what you already know. You can still see the road well traveled. Here in the church these days, it's kind of cool because there's all kinds of opportunity to be disciples in a post-resurrection world. So you could be a tight spiral kind of disciple. I know a lot of you are like that. You're willing to go out into new places, but you like to stay pretty darn close to the place where you were before, right? It's a tight spiral. You're always well connected to where you were before. You can see the road traveled, but you're willing to maybe try this resurrection thing. And then there's others of you who maybe are a little more daring to beginning. And maybe your spirals are just a little bit wider. You don't feel quite the need to hang on so tightly to the center right where you had been before, but maybe try new roads. And then there's the crazy people. And I count Paul among those for whom their spiral is so wide and so disconnected, so unafraid to move away from the chosen path that it's almost not able to be identified as a spiral. It's such a big and expanding circle that Paul will travel all over the middle world, sharing the news of Jesus Christ, going to prison, being nearly killed. But there's a place for all of those spirals because each of them has a center, a beginning. And that beginning for us is the presence and resurrection of Jesus. That is the center of our spiral in this resurrection day. It's so easy to leave today and say, thank God that's over. We've gotten our whole obligations taken care of. But for the Gospel of Mark, in its abrupt ending, it's really a call to begin anew. The resurrection is a Monday morning kind of experience in which we begin life as resurrected people, as people of resurrection, filled certainly with the presence and power of God and the joy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' triumph over death and hate, in the end, isn't so much what Mark's gospel is about. I think it's about that last line. He will see you in Galilee, just as he promised. We are a people of new beginnings. And somehow we begin to learn how to spiral our way out from the center to be the resurrection for the world. To be God's love for the world and for one another. So that all that God has created and all that God sustains might know God's light. So let's make a beginning this day. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.